Have you ever been two-thirds of the way through a steep turn, watching the horizon tilt and the altitude unwind, and thought, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing right now? Yeah, me too. And I've done about 10,000 of them. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about one of the most deceptively simple maneuvers on the private pilot practical test, the steep turn. Before we get into the technique, quick shout out to AviationSoul.com. If you're working toward a check ride, those milestones matter. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, Commercial Aviation Soul makes challenge coins for every step of the journey. A great way to mark the moments that actually mean something. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, the steep turn. Let me start with why it exists on the check ride in the first place. It's not just to see if you can fly in a circle at 45 degrees of bank. The examiner is using it to evaluate several things simultaneously. Your ability to maintain coordinated flight under increased load, your scan and division of attention, your pitch bank relationship awareness, and whether you can hold precise parameters while the airplane is telling you something feels just a little bit wrong. That's a lot happening in about 60 seconds of flight. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, set the performance targets for private pilot. You need to maintain altitude within 100 feet, roll out within 10 degrees of your entry heading, and hold your bank angle at 45 degrees, plus or minus 5 degrees. Those numbers sound reasonable, and they are, if your technique is solid. If your technique has gaps, that 45-degree bank will find every single one of them. Here's something I wish someone had explained to me clearly when I was in training. The steep turn is really about three separate problems happening at the same time, and most students are only prepared for one of them. Problem one is load factor. When you bank to 45 degrees, your load factor goes to 1.4 Gs. That means the airplane is effectively 40% heavier than it was in level flight. Your stall speed increases with the square root of that load factor. At 45 degrees of bank, your stall speed is about 19% higher than in wings level flight. In a Cessna 172, where you might stall in the clean configuration at around 53 knots, your stall speed in the steep turn is closer to 63 knots. If you slow down too much while you're fixated on the bank angle or hunting the horizon, you're creeping toward the stall without realizing it. This is why a lot of students feel an odd buffet or mushiness toward the bottom of their steep turns. The airplane is trying to tell them something. The solution is to have your entry speed correct before you ever begin the maneuver. Most pilots' operating handbooks, the POH for your specific aircraft, and most instructors will point you toward cruise speed or just below maneuvering speed. For most small singles, that's somewhere in the range of 90 to 100 knots. You want to be stable and trimmed at that speed before you roll in, not still decelerating. Stable. Problem two is overbanking tendency. This surprises a lot of students and honestly, some certificated pilots who've never thought carefully about why it happens. In a steep turn, the outside wing is traveling in a larger arc than the inside wing. It's covering more distance in the same amount of time, so it generates more lift. That extra lift tries to roll you steeper than you intended. Left to its own devices, the airplane wants to tighten the turn and increase the bank past 45 degrees. A lot of students handle this by holding aileron pressure toward the high wing outside aileron to maintain the bank angle. That works. But if you're not coordinated, that outside aileron creates adverse yaw, which puts you in a skid. Now you've got the ball out, you're uncoordinated, and you've created the exact setup for an accelerated stall, the kind that can depart quickly at elevated G. The coordinated way to handle overbanking tendency is to use rudder in concert with that aileron. You're flying the whole airplane, not just the ailerons. Keep that ball centered throughout the entire turn. The examiner is watching it. Trust me on that. Problem three is pitch. This is where most altitude deviations happen. When you roll to 45 degrees, the lift vector is no longer pointing straight up, it's tilted. To maintain level flight, you need to increase your angle of attack. That means adding back pressure, and you need to add more back pressure than you think. Here's what typically happens. Students roll in, they add a little back pressure, they feel the seat pressure increase as the G load comes up, and they assume that feeling means they've done enough. It's not enough. The pitch attitude you need at 45 degrees of bank is noticeably higher than in level flight. On most training aircraft, you'll see the nose about 2 to 3 degrees higher than your level flight attitude. If your horizon reference isn't set correctly before you roll in, you'll start to descend. Then you'll add back pressure to catch it. Maybe a little too much, you'll climb. Then you'll loosen the bank trying to manage the pitch. The bank drops, the examiner notes something quietly on their clipboard, and you've lost the maneuver even though you thought you had it. The fix is to establish your pitch attitude correctly at the entry point and hold it, not chase the altitude. If you set the right pitch and bank combination and maintain coordination, the altitude should largely hold itself. The correction reflex, constantly micro-correcting pitch while you're still establishing bank, is what makes the maneuver wobble. Let's walk through it together the way I teach it. You're at your entry altitude, your entry speed, in straight and level flight. You pick a reference point on the horizon. On the check ride, your examiner will tell you what heading to roll out on. Know that heading before you begin, clear your turns. This sounds obvious. I still watch students blow through the clearing turn during check rides because they're already mentally inside the maneuver. Clear both directions. 90-degree clearing turns work well. Whatever your technique, make sure you've actually looked. The ACS requires it. More importantly, traffic requires it. Roll in smoothly and establish the bank. As you approach 45 degrees, add back pressure progressively. Don't wait until you're fully in to start the pitch adjustment. The pitch and the bank go in together. At the same time, add a small amount of power. On a carbureted engine, about 200 RPM. On fuel-injected engines, 1 to 2 inches of manifold pressure. You won't stall without this addition, but you'll slow down enough that the maneuver feels unstable, and you'll be chasing airspeed while also trying to hold attitude and bank. Now you're in the turn. Your job is to hold three things constant: bank angle, pitch attitude, and coordination. Scan from the nose to the horizon, to the altimeter, to the vertical speed indicator or VSI, back to the nose. Not a frantic scan, a steady rhythmic one. The altimeter should be nearly stationary. If it's moving, something in your attitude isn't right. Watch your bank angle using a visual reference on the windscreen. Every airplane has them. A rivet line, the edge of the cowling, the glare shield edge against the horizon. In the Cessna 172 at 45 degrees of bank, the top of the cowling intersects the horizon at a specific point. Find that reference in your aircraft before the check ride day. Practice knowing where 45 degrees looks from your seat. Don't rely on the attitude indicator alone. You should be spending the majority of your time looking outside. The rollout is where a lot of otherwise solid steep turns go wrong. Everything looked great, the altitude barely moved, and then you roll out 15 degrees past the target heading. That's a potential bust. Lead your rollout by half your bank angle. At 45 degrees of bank, start rolling out about 22 degrees before your target heading. And as you roll out, relax the back pressure progressively. The pitch attitude that kept you level in the bank is too high for wings level flight. If you hold it through the rollout, the nose will pitch up and you'll gain altitude right at the end. Roll out and relax the back pressure together at the same rate. The two inputs unwind in concert, the same way they wound in together. Here's something the examiner is absolutely noticing, even if they say nothing about it. How cleanly did you set up the entry? How was your transition out? Did the nose pitch up through the rollout? Did you need a large correction to get back on heading? The maneuver starts before you begin the bank and ends after you've rolled out. It includes the setup, the entry, the turn, the rollout, and the return to stable coordinated level flight. Grade yourself on the whole picture. Now let me go through the most common mistakes I see on this maneuver, not to embarrass anyone, just to save you some extra hours and some extra money in the training environment. The first common mistake is fixating inside the cockpit. Students who haven't found their visual attitude references spend the whole steep turn staring at the artificial horizon. That's backwards. Your outside visual references are faster and more accurate for maintaining bank angle and pitch. The instruments confirm what you're already seeing outside. The attitude indicator is a cross-check, not a primary reference. The second mistake is letting airspeed decay, especially in longer steep turns. If you haven't added the right amount of power and you're not monitoring the airspeed, you'll slow down. Slow plus 45 degrees of bank plus diminishing back pressure margin before a stall is an uncomfortable place to be. Keep the airspeed in range. The third mistake is losing the bank angle during corrections. When the altitude starts to drift, the instinct is to reach for back pressure. But sometimes the reason altitude is drifting is that the bank has crept past 45 degrees. A steeper bank means more of your lift vector is tilted sideways, which requires even more back pressure to hold altitude. And the student doesn't always realize the bank has gone somewhere it shouldn't before you reach for the yoke. Glance at the bank. Make sure you actually have 45 degrees. The fourth mistake is a panicked rollout. Students who are struggling with the maneuver feel a sense of relief when they decide it's over. That relief turns into a quick movement and suddenly they've rolled out 30 degrees past the target heading and pitched up through the transition. Slow the rollout down, you have time. The examiner doesn't need you to stop the turn instantly. They need you to stop it precisely. One more thing about check ride prep specifically. Practice steep turns in both directions. The left turn and the right turn feel different in single-engine propeller aircraft because of P-factor and torque effects. In most American-built single-engine aircraft, the right turn will require more right rudder input to stay coordinated than you might expect. Don't be surprised by this on check ride day if you've only ever practiced turning left and practice in varied conditions. Practice with a little more power and a little less. Practice on a day with some turbulence in the air. Turbulence will be there on your check ride sometimes. You need to know that a small deviation doesn't mean the maneuver is over. Hold your parameters, make a smooth correction, and fly through it. That's what the examiner wants to see, not a robot, a pilot who can handle what the air gives them. The ACS tolerances are achievable, but they reward preparation. The student who has done steep turns 40 or 50 times, in different conditions in different airplanes, is going to look very different from the student who put in 3 practice runs the week before the test. When you do nail one, and you will, it's one of the most satisfying things you can do in a training airplane. You roll out, the heading is right there, the altimeter barely moved, the ball was centered the whole way around. That's not luck. That's the result of understanding what the airplane was doing and staying ahead of it. The ACS is the source for the standards I mentioned, and your aircraft's POH has the aircraft-specific performance numbers, worth knowing cold before you fly with an examiner. Find us at radiohangar.com, blue skies, and good luck on the turn.